If you have the Word of God, would you please turn again to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And tonight, I want to take for my text tonight those few little words in Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. Tonight, I want to turn your attention in the Word of God to four men who are found in Scripture, who wanted to die, but God would not let them die. And it's in this, I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. And with the Word of God open, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee again for these wonderful hymns that we've been singing together. Lord, we thank You for the message, Lord, that is in every one of those hymns that we've sang. Lord, if there was no other message bar the words of those songs, Lord, how they point us to the love of Christ, to the finished work of the cross, and to the power that is in the blood. Lord, we come to Thee, Lord, for the preaching of Thy word, and we ask for help. Lord, we need Thy help to preach Thy word. Lord, what am I? Lord, I'm only the clay, but Lord, Thou art the potter. And I pray, O God, for the power of the Holy Ghost, that Lord, that You'll fill this vessel. Lord, I lean my whole self to Thy control and to the filling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we stand before the living and the dead. Lord, we pray for judgment day honestly. Lord, help us to be faithful and true to Thy word, and to faithful and true to those in this meeting who are without Christ. Lord, if they're those and they're not saved, Lord, don't let them die in their sins. But Lord, may they come to the cross this night and live and declare the glory and the works of the Lord. Help this preacher now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. As I was thinking much upon this service a few weeks ago, this text was always in my heart and in my mind. And those little words, I shall not die, but live, they're great words of comfort. You know, if you were probably on a sick bed and maybe someone or a doctor had said to you that your outcome's not going to be good, and all of a sudden you're reading through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit enlightens you to this one verse, and the Lord says, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. You would take that as a great word of encouragement from the Lord. Over these last 15 years, we've been a youth leader in Portadown Free Presbyterian Church, and young people always lies very close to my heart. It always has since the Lord saved us. As I told my testimony here a few years ago, that we were brought up in a band culture, a loyalist culture, and the Lord saved us and delivered us. But the Lord gave us that desire and burden to go out and to witness for the Lord. And over those 15 years, we have learned a lot in the work of God working with young people. And as many know as well, that I run a little work on a Sunday evening from 8:30 to 9:30 in a little mission hall in Portadown CW Hall. It's an after church rally. It's an after church meeting. And it's a more older group of people would meet in that little building. The old CW Hall is an old W.P. Nicholson Hall. W.P. himself preached in that hall going back over many years ago. Over 600 people would have been found in that hall. But it's where that hall is situated, at the top of our town in Portadown. And ladies and gentlemen, come January 2015 of this year, the Lord brought this little man into the meeting in his 40s. He had been a drug addict for over 30 years. His life was racked with drugs and with drink. And the Reverend McMillan from Armagh Free Presbyterian Church was preaching. And after the meeting, that man cried like a child. He sobbed sore. And I tell you, men and women, as we sat with them, with the Reverend McMillan and myself, we sat listening to them, and these were his words. I don't want to die, but I want to live. He said, I'm sick and tired of the life that I'm living, but I don't want to die. I want to live, and I want to be free from my sin. Since that, we have been working with them. And I'm going to be honest to you. I have learned a lot in those few months. One thing about getting saved, but it's going on. It's going on. And when you find a man who is so desirable to come to Christ and find the Lord and wants to live, and yet behind the background there are so many complications. The drug addiction, the alcohol addiction, the mental side of what those scars are upon his mind. My dear friend, it really tests your faith. I got a phone call one morning to go into his house. And partly there's a thing on his that you're not allowed to approach this man on your own. I went into his house at 4:30 in the morning. Again, just saying those words. I don't want to die, but I want to live. I can say that in this last 9 weeks, he hasn't touched drugs. The alcohol is a bit of a problem, but he's getting there. And the mental side seems to be improving a little. But ladies and gentlemen, I've learned sometimes I've got to dirty my clothes. But God brought us there. And as we witnessed to that man, I realized this one thing. Lord, I'm hopeless. I'm hopeless. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. And these words came to me through the psalmist. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I don't know much about Coleraine, but I know much about Portadown. My dear friend, tonight Portadown is in a mess. Portadown has become the main beehive for drugs in Ulster. They come from all over to get their drugs out of Portadown. Children in their teenage years are drinking better than all adults could ever drink. Children's lives are absolutely ruined until they come to the point that what is the point of living? What is the point of living? What is the point of going on? I just want to end it. And if you work with youth, you work the ground, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I want us, with the time we have, to look at four men in the Word of God who come to the point in their life where they just wanted to end it. They just wanted it all to end. Three of those men were godly men, saints of God. One of them, the other, was on the verge of plunging himself out into God's eternity. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn you to Numbers chapter 11. If you turn with me, we see this first. And this man is Moses, the life of Moses. And if you come over with us to Numbers chapter 11. And Moses is a leader of a nation. Moses is a leader of a people. And this day Moses has had enough. Israel has been complaining about the ways of the Lord. In Numbers chapter 11. And if you come down to verse 14, this is the words that he says. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. Now look at verse 15. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee. Here is a man who is a leader of a nation. And you all know the lifestyle and the character of Moses. Moses is a wonderful Bible study and a great character to study. That little child, when his mother looked upon him, she saw that he was a goodly child, that there was potential in this wee child. And she took him and she hid him among the bulrushes and she watched over him. And how he ended up in the house of Pharaoh. And rather than be a Pharaoh himself, he chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the children of Israel for a season to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He turned his back on the fame of Egypt. He turned his back on all the riches of Egypt to be a follower of Christ and to be situated with God's people, to be identified with the children of Israel. And God chose him to be a leader of a nation, to be a leader of a people. And Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it comes to this point in his leadership where the people begin to displease, it says in verse 1, and the people complained and it displeased the Lord. They began to complain about their circumstances and their situations, and they began to think of Egypt and how they were able to say that we remember the fish when we had it in Egypt. They were tired of the manna. They were tired of the manna. And you know, young people, there's a warning there. As a youth leader, some of our young people would say we're tired of the word. We're tired of listening to the preaching of the word of God. We want the gimmicks. We want the entertainment. We're tired of this way. But young people, this is the way God has ordained it. It's through the foolishness of preaching. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It is God who has said that the Bible, that the word of God be preached in all of our meetings. And isn't it sad that there are those Christians who are brought up in the house of God and they're beginning to become tired of the manna. They're becoming tired of the word of God. That's a warning. And God was displeased with us. God was angry with us. And not only was God displeased and angry with us, Moses was angry with it himself. Moses was not happy. And Moses didn't know what to do. He couldn't provide for them. He couldn't feed them anymore. And the whole pressure of the work, it all came upon him. Until he went out before the Lord. And he said, Lord, I'm not able to bear all this people alone. Lord, I can't bear it. Lord, I can't do this great work alone. Lord, I can't bear this because it's too heavy for me. Moses wanted to quit. He realized that his life was becoming a failure. Look at verse 15. And if thou do lust with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see thy wretchedness. Moses didn't want to see his failure. He wanted God to end his life. Just end it now, Lord. Take it now and end it. I can't bear it, Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Lord raises you into a position and work to be a manager or a boss, learn this wee lesson. You can't bear it alone. Learn to strike the balance right. Do you know there are people and they think they can't be done out? There are people who think, well, if I'm not there, and if I'm not keeping my hand on the wheel, if I'm not the one doing it all, it's all going to fall apart. The wheel's just going to come off the cart. And that's what Moses thought. Moses thought that he had to be doing every little thing, looking after all the little details, looking after everything that he forgot about. The one thing that God asked him to do was lead the people. You know, men and women, the minister can't do it alone. The session can't carry the burden alone. It's up to every single individual to carry the burden with it. But Moses was one of those men who come to the point of his life where he says, Lord, I can't bear it anymore. I can't lead this people anymore. Lord, I'm becoming a failure. Lord, I want you to end my life. I want you to end. I don't want to be a failure, Lord. Just end it now. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't strike the balance in our life, something will give in. We'll either, our family will fall apart. Our homes will fall apart. We'll not be able to give our 100% in our work. And you know, if we're continually working all the time and having to be into everything and taking so much pressure upon ourselves, eventually our health will give in. You see, Moses had to strike the balance. And God knew it. And at this point of his life, Moses just wanted to die. But you see where God stepped in. This is the wonderful thing. Moses comes to the Lord and he pours his heart out to God and he says, Lord, I can't bear this people alone. He says, because it's too heavy for me. And if you look at verse 16, you see where God steps in. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men and elders of Israel. God steps in. And God says, Moses, I know you can't do it alone. Moses, this is what I want you to do. God begins to tell Moses what he wants him to do. He says, Moses, choose you out 70 men. Give them the work to do. Don't you be wasting your time no longer with all the little ins and outs with it. Dedicate that work. Commit that work over. But you continue to lead the people. You continue to be the leader that I've chosen you to be. A man who wanted to die. A man who wanted God to take him out. And God steps in. And God says, Moses, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. And you're going to declare the works and the glory of the Lord. And God stepped in. Men and women, God stepped into Moses' life, and Moses didn't die. But Moses went on to live, and Moses went on to be a great leader of the children of Israel, and Moses began to lead the children of Israel as God had commanded him to do so. Comes to my second person in the Word of God. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, again another faithful servant of God. 1 Kings chapter 19, and it's Elijah. Elijah, the man of God, a firebrand for the Lord, a man who was bold for God. And if you look at verse 4 in Elijah's life, Elijah's on the run. In verse 4, it says there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the Jupiter tree, and he requested, look at it, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now. O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. Do you see exhaustion? Here was a man who was on fire for God. Here was a man who was being greatly used for the Lord. Here was a man who stepped out in faith and challenged the false prophets of Israel. Here was a man who prayed and saw the fire of God fall. Here was a man who said there'd be no rain and prayed for rain, and there was a sound of abundance of rain. But now he's on the run, and he's running from a woman. He's afraid of Jezebel because she's going to kill him, and he's running for his life. And he comes to exhaustion. He comes to the point of burnout. The man of God is just completely burnt out. He's no more strength, he's no more energy, and he comes to the Jupiter tree, and he sits under the tree, and he says to the Lord, it is enough. Lord, I've had enough. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. I wonder, is there a servant of God in this meeting? You have been on fire for God. For many, many years you've been on fire for God. You've seen souls won for Christ. God has blessed your ministry. God has blessed your work. But you've come to the point where you're exhausted. And you said, Lord, it's enough. I can give no more. I'm exhausted. I'm burnt out. Again, men and women, there is the balance. Striking the balance. But in this, he questioned that God would take his life, that God would just end his life there and then. Men and women, we see in verse 5, the Lord stepped in. And the Lord said to Elijah, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. And God sent an angel, it says, and as he lay and slept under a Jupiter tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. It wasn't God's will for a servant to die. It was not Elijah's time to die. God had still use for the servant of God. And can I say, men and women tonight, the very reason that you and I are still alive on this earth tonight, as saved children of the Lord, God has still use for you and I. The Lord still wants to use you. The Lord has still a part for you to play in the work of God. And God said to you tonight, listen, even though you're tired, even though you've battled long in the work, you're still not going to die. Even in your old age, you shall bear fruit. That's something. And God sent an angel unto Elijah. And the angel touched him and said, Elijah, arise and eat. Arise and eat. God knew before he could put his servant back in the work, he had to strengthen him. He had to get him ready again for the battle and the journey ahead. And he sent the angel unto him and he said, arise and eat. And verse 6, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine waking up out of your sleep and there's a cake sitting in front of you. It was prepared by the Lord. And a cause of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. You see, child of God, what is God? What did the Lord say? Come aside and rest a while. If you don't come aside and rest, you'll soon come apart. And God knew his servant needed a rest. But God had a great plan for him. God says, you're not going to die, Elijah, but you're going to live. And you're going to declare the works of the Lord. And again it says, and again the angel of the Lord came the second time and touched me and said, and here's the words, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You see how the Lord's encouraging his servant? He says, Elijah, this is not the end of the road. There's still another journey. There's still another mile to go. And men and women at that point, and God stepped into Elijah's life. God strengthened Elijah. Elijah didn't die, but Elijah went on to finish his ministry. He went on to finish the ministry that God had given to do. Moses was to be a leader. Elijah went on to finish his ministry where he saw Elisha appointed in his stead. I want you to turn with me to the third person, and it's Jonah. If you go over to Jonah, I'm sure you know well by now, you know the road it's going. Moses asked the Lord that he wanted to die because he didn't want to be a failure. He couldn't bear the burden anymore. He just says, Lord, I just want to die. Elisha has come to the part where he requests, he wishes to die. He says, Lord, look, it's enough. I can't take any more. Lord, just end my life now. But when we come to the life of Jonah, my dear friend, Jonah was asked by the Lord to go to Nineveh and to preach the gospel. God singled out Jonah as a man of God to go against that wicked city and cry against it and tell them that he was going to destroy the people, that he was going to destroy the nation. But Jonah didn't do it. Jonah disobeyed the Lord. And rather than going to Nineveh, Jonah fled and he got into a boat and went down to Joppa. And it says when he was in that boat in verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was likely to be broken. Here was a man who was running away from the will of God. Here was a man who was running away from doing what God asked him to do. And God sends a storm into his life. God sends a great wind into Jonah's life. And as these sailors begin, they begin to pray to their gods. They begin to cast lots. They begin to pray to their gods. But the master of the ship, he realizes that Jonah's sleeping. Imagine. The ungodly are praying. But the man of God is not concerned. That's just the state of our nation, you know. The church has stopped praying. Unconcerned. These men feared for their life. They realized that this ship is going to be broken up. We're going to be drowned. We're going to be perished. And here's a man and he doesn't care. And the master hits him and he says, get up and pray to your God. Whose God is your God? And Jonah says, my God is the God of heaven and earth. And you see, when the men heard that, they feared. And they said to Jonah, what have you done? What have you done that has brought this great wind and this thing upon us? What have you done, Jonah? And in verse 12, Jonah says unto them, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Do you see it? Jonah wanted to die. He says, just you take me up and just you cast me into the sea that I may drown. And this storm will calm. Do you know something, men and women, tonight? God said to Jonah, Jonah, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. And you're going to declare the works of the Lord. Because when those men took Jonah and they cast him over the boat, Jonah began to sink to the depths of the sea. He began to go down to the bottom of the sea. And verse 17 of Jonah chapter 1 says, and the Lord had prepared a great fish. Do you see that? God was not going to let his child perish in the ocean. He was not going to let him die. But in that bottom of that ocean, God had already prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the whale, of the fish, 3 days and 3 nights. See God stepping in. Even though you're running away from the will of God, you may be sitting in this meeting thinking, I'm a failure. God will never use my life ever again. And Jonah thought that. Jonah wanted to die. But God had a fish prepared. And God said, Jonah, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. And you're going to live, Jonah, and you're going to go, and you're going to declare the works of the Lord. And in the belly of that fish, in the belly of that whale, God's servant began to seek the Lord, that he cried in the belly of the whale, salvation is of the Lord. And by seeking God in the belly of the whale, God heard the cry of Jonah right in the depth of the ocean, right in the belly of the fish, and God spat him out. And in chapter 3, Jonah goes back to Nineveh, and Jonah preaches the gospel. Jonah begins to warn the people. But you know the funny thing, not enough to be in the belly of the whale and not to be drowned. If you go to chapter 4, God didn't destroy Nineveh. And still Jonah wanted to die. Because he thought God was going to wipe them out because he didn't like them. He didn't like his enemies. God didn't let him die, men and women. God said, Jonah, you're not going to die. You're going to live. And you're going to declare the glory and the works of the Lord. I turn you to my final person in the scriptures. Those are three men of God, three men on fire for God, men who are being used by God. But this fourth man we come to look at is one who is unsaved. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is the Philippian jailer. And what a position this man is given. Paul and Silas, the men of God, the evangelists of the Lord, preachers of the Lord, they're put in prison. And whilst they were in prison in Acts 16 and 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Here's these men who have just been whipped and bound and fettered, and they're in the dark dungeon of cell, in a prison cell, and they're singing praises unto the Lord. And the prisoners hear them. But in that prison cell, the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake that so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors opened and every man's bonds was loose. Picture the scene. The chains are falling off. The prison doors are beginning to swing open and the prisoners are now free to go. In verse 27, And the keeper of the prison awaked out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. You see it? Here was a man about to end his own life. A drug addict said, I don't want to die. I want to live. Where's my help? Who can help me? This Philippian jailer, he realizes that the governor's going to come in. He's been sleeping on the job. The prisoners have escaped. And he's going to lose his head. His life is going to be taken from him. And rather than face that either the lions or the sword, he takes his sword from his sheath, and he was going to fall on it and end his life there and then. Can I tell you tonight, men and women, there are young people in this country of ours, of Ulster, who are tonight standing at their wits' end corner. There's no help. There's no one to turn to. Where is my end? How can I get out of this mess? How can I be delivered from this? I don't want to die. But where is my help? Where is my hope here? Here's a man about to end his own life, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But verse 28, God steps in. And God says to that prisoner, that ungodly man, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. You're going to live. And just seconds, man, he's just seconds away from plunging himself out into eternity. And a voice cries out of the dark and says, do thyself no harm. For we're here. Let me ask the question, men and women. Is the Church of Jesus Christ here to help the lost to the cross? Is the voice crying from the Church of Christ, do yourself no more harm, but come to the cross? Paul and Silas says to this unconverted man, do thyself no harm, for we're here. Can I say to you, my dear unsaved friend in this meeting, I don't know your heart. You may be dressed up well with your shirt and tie, your suit, your fancy outfit, but I don't know your heart. But as a preacher, I cry from the pulpit, do thyself no harm, but come to Christ. Stop going on in your sinful ways. For how do you know you can only be hours or moments or minutes or seconds away from eternity? And being lost and in hell and damned forever. Because that's all this Philippian jailer was. He was just seconds away from falling on a sword. He was just seconds from going out into God's eternity until that little voice cried out, do thyself no harm. Men and women, the moment he heard that voice, he called for a light. Isn't that wonderful? Give me a light. And he ran into that prison cell and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I be saved? How can I be delivered from the penalty of my sin? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Men and women, that's it. As we spoke, as we sat with that man, 32 years, a complete alcoholic, drug addict, a washout, a nobody, a nothing. How can I be saved? How can I be delivered? How can I be made free? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shall be saved. Is there one and you're fond of the bottle? You're chained to the alcohol? Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen the scars and the marks of what alcohol leaves on a life. But can I say to you, before you get any further, stop. Do yourself no more harm, but come to Christ. Is there one in the meeting? And maybe you are a drug addict. Maybe you are one who takes drugs. You've just started. Maybe the pressure is there to indulge in it, to try it out, to see what it's like. If I can bring you tonight to that man's house, what has he? Absolutely nothing. And if I sat you down before and said, if you want to continue on in drugs, here's the lesson. This is what you'll be. It's not a pitiful sight. A downcast in society. Nobody. And a life that is robbed and wrecked and ruined. You see, unsaved person tonight, God does not want you to die. My sinner friend, get those words. The Lord does not want you to die. The Lord does not want you to perish. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hell was never planned for you or me. Hell was planned for the devil and his angels. But because you continue to reject God's offer of salvation, because you continue to reject the way of the cross, and if you continue to do that, my friend, you will end in hell. Not because of the preacher. Not because of the church you attend. But because of your sin. Because of your sin. That's why I plead. Do thyself no harm. Stop going on in your sin. Stop lingering in your sin. But turn and come to Christ. And if you're here tonight, you're saying, what can I do to be saved? Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look what he's done for you on the cross. Men and women, I'm helpless here as a preacher to explain the full depth of what Christ has done on the cross. I don't even know how to continue to make it as best I can, but simply and plainly, it was for me, and it is enough that Jesus bled and died for a sinner like me. Think of what John Newton, that blasphemer of the gospel, that one who mimicked preachers, who mocked preachers, and upon that ship, fell upon the boards of the ship and cried for God's salvation. And he writ to him, in evil long, I continued evil long, until a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. Oh, can it be upon a tree? The Savior died for me. My soul is filled, my heart is filled. To think he died for me. In a moment, we will never know, nor will we ever fully understand how deep and how dark those waters were that day, that night, that Christ passed through for the soul that was lost. And God doesn't want you to die. God says you're not going to die, but you're going to live. And sinner, if you come to Christ tonight, I can guarantee you will not die, but you will live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did that jailer do? He fell on his knees. And he believed on the Lord and he accepted Christ as his Savior. And he took Paul and Silas and he brought them home. And you know what he done? He brought them into his home and he brought his family before them. And he said, these men told me of a man who died on the cross. These men told me how I could be saved and be made new and set free. And as he told the story of saving grace in his own life, one by one, his family members came they're put their trust in Christ. You see the difference? God stepped in seconds from eternity. It's moments from being lost forever. And God says, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. And you're going to declare the works and the glory of the Lord. Sinner friend, God can do that for you. You can trust Christ this night. And you can go out these doors rejoicing as a new child in God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, on your way home to glory. And there's no knowing what God will do with your life. God says, I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live. And I'm going to declare the works of the Lord. Oh, sinner friend, don't die. Don't die without Christ, but put your faith and trust in Him.